Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a tremendous blessing. Great messages in song. We appreciate each one of those. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or chapter 2 rather, verse 1 through 5. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Verse 5. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we thank you, Lord God, for what we've already received today. But God, I know that there is more. I know, Father, that we're a needy people and we need to hear from you through the preaching of your word. I just pray, God, that you would work in our midst once again. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Last week we preached on Hebrews in chapter 11 on faith and how important faith is. As we study the Old Testament and the New Testament, faith has always been God's message, His main message to fallen man. Faith. Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 1 gives us a biblical definition of faith. And we went through and we studied that and we basically understood that there was two things, substance and evidence. As what God has given to us understanding of biblical faith, it's substance of things hoped for, but it's substance and then evidence, evidence of things not seen, but evidence means it's possessed. We have it. And so we studied on that and then we concluded with understanding this thought: if we live by faith, we will die in faith. And there's no other way to die. Amen. If you want the blessings, if you want the understanding, the greatest way to leave this life is to die in faith. What a blessing that is. But you have to live by faith in order to have this peace that we'll die in faith. And so biblical faith, and we studied that last week. Well, there's so much more, and I felt like there's just we need to have a part two to that. We have to have a follow-up because there's so much more to understand concerning living by faith. And here in 1 Corinthians, and Paul is addressing the believers at Corinth in chapter 2, and he's trying to help them to understand the very importance of faith in Christ and what our faith is based upon. Paul knew that faith in Christ is the key to the Christian life. And can I tell you that it is the key? Our faith in Christ is the key to every aspect in every area of the Christian life. And so he goes through in verses 1 through 4 and he tries to help them to see how very important it was when he came. He understood that he did not want to present to them his words. He did not want to present to them the wisdom of man. He came to them understanding their greatest need was to have faith in Christ. And so we find that's verses 1 through 4. He goes through all of that and he tells them that. But then in verse 5, he just brings it out here. And that's the verse I'm going to look at this morning and understanding this idea of faith, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Our faith cannot be based upon man's wisdom, but in the power of God. In the power of God, the ways of God, what God has revealed and understanding who He is. And our faith that has this substance and evidence is has to be based upon looking to an almighty creator God and looking at Jesus Christ as he came to this earth. He laid his life down on Calvary's cross and impacted this world like nothing else has ever impacted this world. So the first thing we need to understand here that our faith, what faith based upon the power of God, or if you will, that's just biblical faith. Biblical faith is belief based upon the very power or the working and the very power of God, the words of God, what it does. The Bible has much to say about what faith will do for us. And the first thing that we understand is that faith will bring to us eternal life. This biblical faith based upon the power of God and what God is able to do, the power of God through the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verse 2, he says here, "For I determined not to know anything among you save," he said, this is what it's all about, "Jesus Christ and him crucified." The most important thing that faith is faith in looking to Jesus Christ and realizing that he was and is God manifested in the flesh, and that he came to pay a sin debt that all of us owed and could not pay. And he came and he presented to us the gospel being the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the only way that we have to God. The only plan that God has for salvation is through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul comes and he says, I want you to understand this. I want you to understand faith has to be based on looking to Jesus Christ and the death and the burial and the resurrection. It's the power of God that he resurrected him from the grave. It's the power of God that God himself was manifested in the flesh. God became man and walked among us. What a tremendous thought that is. That's what our faith needs to be based on. And when you base your faith on Jesus Christ and you look to him and receive the gift that he has for you, then you can have, through faith, everlasting, eternal life. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting, eternal life through Jesus Christ." Eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can have everlasting eternal life. And so through this faith, biblical faith, faith based upon the power of God, what God is able to do, not what you're able to do, not what a church is able to do for you, not what works can do, but through faith in a gift that God wants to offer all of those who would simply by faith believe and receive what Jesus Christ has done for us. So faith, biblical faith based upon the power of God brings to us eternal life. Paul said, I wanted you to understand that. I wanted to focus on Christ and him crucified. Not only will it bring to us eternal life, but it gives us direction and purpose for life. So many people are confused as far as what I'm here for. What's the purpose of my life? What am I to do? How am I to live? What is it? What is the purpose for this earth being here? For humanity being on this planet earth? Well, Galatians in chapter 2, a very powerful passage of scripture, but it helps us to see it's focused on Christ. If you focus on Christ, you will have direction. If you focus on Christ, you'll have a purpose for life. Not only will you have eternal life to look forward to, but you'll have a purpose and direction for your life here on this earth. The Bible says in Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Okay, now if you're looking to Jesus Christ and him crucified, you receive from him this eternal life. Now he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He dwells within you. Your body is the very temple of God now. That's what the Bible says. For the born-again believer, when you receive Jesus Christ, you have the indwelling of. He sends the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. And because the Holy Spirit takes up housing inside of you, then your body becomes the house that God lives in, if you will, the temple of God. And that's very precious, and that's very important that we understand that as born-again believers. And so he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live what? By the faith. Faith is bringing to me direction and purpose for life. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if you have biblical faith, not only do you have salvation and not only do you have everlasting life, you have purpose for your life here. You have direction for your life here. Christ wants to work in and through you for a purpose, to accomplish some great things, to accomplish some eternal things. Wow. Not only will it bring to us eternal life, and not only does it give me direction and purpose for life, but it will also give me victory over worldly battles. Are you battling some things this morning? Battling whatever it might be. Physical problems, financial problems, relationship problems. Do you realize what you need is faith in God? And if you have faith in God, then this biblical faith will bring you victory over those battles. The Bible, nowhere in Scripture is it promised to the believer that we will not face trials. Just the opposite. It says we will. Nowhere in Scripture will tell you that your life will be a bed of roses once you get saved. Somewhat just the opposite. Because now, you see, you're going to have not only battles, and you're going to have trials, and you're going to have temptations, and there's a spiritual warfare that opens up. And Satan is looking to destroy you through all of these worldly battles and struggles. But if you're in Christ and you're looking to him by faith, you're going to find that the power of God through faith will give you the victory over the battles that you face in this life. Look with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. This biblical faith based upon the power of God. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says this. And whatsoever is born of God, been born again, you're of God, overcometh the world. Overcometh. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our, what? Faith. You're struggling, and you're about ready to just give in to the struggles, the battles of life, whether they be financial, whether they be physical, whether they be relationships, whatever those battles of life. Listen to me, if you do not have faith in God, if you're not looking to God to give you the strength for the battles, if you're not looking to God to give you the victory over those battles, if you're not looking to God and realizing that through Christ, I am a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, I can overcome. I can overcome whatever I'm having to battle in this life, no matter what it might be. But if I am going to overcome, if I'm going to be victorious, if I'm going to be a conqueror, it is going to come by way of faith. Biblical faith in the powers of God. That's good stuff. Well, what faith based upon the power of God or biblical faith will do for me? It brings us eternal life. It gives me direction and purpose for my life. It gives me victory over worldly battles. It does something else that I think we all need to be thankful for. It allows me a way to please God. When you love and honor and respect someone, it does a world of good when you're able to please them. I remember in my teenage years, the one thing that helped keep me from going farther than what I went and when I was running from God was my respect for my parents and not wanting to hurt them, not wanting to cause them shame. Because I had a desire within me to please them. I had a love for them. I had a respect for them. And when you honor, when you respect someone and you want to honor them, the way to honor them is to do right, to please them. In Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him or God. Without faith, it is impossible. God says, I want you to have this biblical faith. And outside of you having the biblical faith, faith based on the very powers of God and what I can do, without you trusting in me, without you looking to me, without you looking to please me, you can't do that outside of biblical faith. But if you have this biblical faith, you can please God. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah. What faith based upon the power of God does for us. Well, not only what faith based upon the power of God or biblical faith does for us, what biblical faith produces. If you have it, it will produce something in your life that you don't want to be without. If you have biblical faith, can I tell you one of the things that it will produce in our lives is hope. Romans in chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5. That's why you find faith is the key. It's God's message to humanity, Old Testament and New Testament. Romans in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice. Look right here. All this and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. If you're saved, you have peace with God. If you're saved, if you have faith here, all the different things, it gives us access by faith into His grace. And we stand in this. But it says more than anything, I was bringing this all together. It says right here, and rejoice in hope. If you have biblical faith, it will produce hope in the future promises of God. In the future promises of God. Knowing that what I believe through faith will become sight. My hope, biblical hope is future fact. And my hope of that which is in glory, that which is to come, is the next thing in prophecy that God has revealed is going to take place, that we have faith to believe and hope to know that is coming, is the rapture of the church. Now, if you don't believe in the rapture of the church, you don't have biblical faith. You're trying to look to see it, trying to justify it, or trying to have it explained through human wisdom. It can't do it. Man and human wisdom cannot fully understand the plan and the powers and the presence of God and what God is able to do. Man cannot explain how God breathed the world into existence. And so because they don't have faith to believe that God is capable of doing that, they don't have that understanding, then they have to come up with something in order to how we get to where we're at today. And the only way to do it is confuse you by saying, just add another billion years to it. And your mind is a billion years, my goodness, you know, anything, whatever. And that's what man has to do, that in our wisdom, to get us to where we are today. But if we just have faith, we have hope in what God can do. And we look back, past, present, and future. We look at what God has done in the past. We look at what God did in the presence of Jesus Christ on this earth. And we look at what God is going to do in the future prophecies that God has revealed to us. Listen to me. Hope in the future glories of God. And the next thing that I'm looking forward to is the rapture of the church. And I think that anymore, most Christians are saying, even so, come Lord Jesus. How much worse does it have to get in this world, in the United States of America? How far can we go away from the words of God and away from the things that God has established, and God not judge
America, how much farther do we have to go? And so the believer, knowing that in the end times there's going to be a great apostasy and things will get worse and worse, and we came to that place because when it gets worse and worse and there's a great apostasy, praise the Lord, because the rapture is right around the corner. And my faith is knowing that the rapture will take place. Not too long ago, it's been several years, I guess, but I was studying the rapture and thinking about all the different things, and I think I was preaching a message on the rapture at the time. And I was studying that, and I had it on my mind, and I went to sleep. And in my sleep, and listen to me, I do not believe that God speaks to us today in visions, and I don't think you're going to hear an audible voice. That God speaks to us through His Word, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, His Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. But sometimes when you have all these things on your mind and you sleep, you might have some special dreams. Sometimes when you eat too much pizza before you go to sleep, you're going to have some nightmares. You know? And if you eat too much pizza, you might find yourself fighting the fires of hell. I don't know. But I was in peace of mind, and I was studying the rapture of the church. And I remember going to sleep, and in my sleep, I had a dream. And I remember, I mean, it was so vivid to me. It was like it was real to me. And I remember my dad, I just happened to see him, and he was coming up out of the graves. And I remember him reaching out with his hand to grab my hand so that we could ascend up to heaven together. I'm telling you what, that did so much, that brought such great peace into my heart and my mind. I woke up before we got to heaven, and I wanted to go back to sleep because I wanted to finish that dream. I said, wait a minute, it's not over yet. I got to see Jesus, amen? But when I woke up, I remembered that. And I mean, Dad's face was just as vivid as if he was standing next to me, and I seen him come up, and he was just wanting to take me by the hand. You know what that is? That is faith and the hope of glory, or the glorious things that's going to take place. Faith will bring to you hope and the blessings that are associated with hope. If you have hope, you'll never get discouraged. You can overcome discouragement. If you have hope, Satan will never get the victory in your life. The hope of glory, the things of God, that's what it brings to us. Biblical faith, it produces in us hope. Biblical faith will produce in us a peace. Biblical faith, it will give me a peace that nothing else can give me. Romans chapter 15, I want you to go there. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Because hope brings peace. Knowing this will bring you a peace that passeth all understanding. But it's peace in believing this. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says this. Now the God of hope fill you. It's what faith produces in us. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In believing, that is this biblical faith, faith to believe what the Word of God says, faith to believe in the power of God and what God has promised He's able to fulfill. Will fill you all with joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Peace in believing. Can I tell you that you have to choose by faith to believe all the Bible? I choose by faith to believe, as they sung this morning, everything that the Bible says. I choose by faith to believe all the Bible says about the past. From Genesis all the way through Malachi, through the prophets. I choose to believe. I don't care what human wisdom says. I don't care what man comes up with, some kind of new scientific proof of this or that. I choose to believe by faith that God created. In the beginning, God created. Not going to shake my faith. You're not going to take that away from me. Amen? And knowing that gives me peace about knowing that there's a God. And if he created humanity, he has a plan for humanity. As he created this earth, he has a plan for this earth. I choose to believe by faith. Past. Present. What is the present? What the Old Testament ushered in. The Old Testament ushered in the church age, which began with, as we study in Sunday school this morning, the coming of the Messiah, the virgin born, only begotten, one of a kind, Son of God. Who was more than just man, he was God. He was God who was manifested in the flesh. I choose to believe that Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ is God. He came as a virgin born Son of God and lived a perfect life to establish Christianity, the life of a believer, the example that we are to follow. He paid my sin debt on Calvary's cross. He was buried, but he resurrected on the third day. I choose to believe that we are now living in this current church age. And we've been living in this current church age for 2,000 years. By faith, I choose to believe that. And that gives me peace. Because I know if it was true the first time he came, why would you ever doubt that he's coming again? If I choose to believe that God is able to create all things, whatever you see and don't see, things visible and invisible, then how could I not believe that he's able to help me no matter what my problems, no matter what my battles? If I choose to believe that God is capable of doing everything he said he did, why would I ever doubt what he prophesied that he would do? I choose by faith to believe in all the Bible, past, present, and future. Produces a peace. Helps me when I take some of the stands that God wants me to take. Helps me to understand the importance of that. Can I just admonish you this morning not to be confused? And not to confuse yourself by trying to decide what parts of the Bible to believe. And that's what human wisdom would try to get you to do today. Well, we got to take this out and we got to take that out because that doesn't really align with what the way that we're living today. And that doesn't align with the morality of today. And that doesn't, and so they just delete it. Don't confuse yourself by trying to decide what to believe and what not to believe. Just be determined that I'm going to choose to believe it all. God says what he means and he means what he said. And he's written it down for us. It's a written down word of God, preserved by God for us to know the very mind of God. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter. I'm almost done, so don't lose sight here. Stay with me. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 says this, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures." It's in the Bible. "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." If your faith is in him, if you believe the Scriptures, then you will not be confused. Why? Because it produces in us hope, produces in us peace. It also produces in us joy. Say, I don't have the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. First thing Satan's going to try to steal from you. If God says it's your strength, then Satan doesn't want you to be strong. He's going to try to steal your joy. What allows me to have this joy is faith.
1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Let me read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 says this. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But then stop there. Verse 8, it says this, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you have faith to believe, even though it's not based on what you see, you believe, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you have faith to believe, no matter what the world says, when you have faith to believe, no matter what else is going on around you, when you have faith to believe, that faith will lead you to a joy. The joy of the Lord. Because faith will lead you to love God. And can I tell you, there's joy in loving. Remember that first, if you're a boy, that little girl. If you're a girl, that little boy. They might have called it puppy love. But that first one, that you realize, wow, there is something different between the sexes here. And you have a desire, and there is a healthy desire that God instills within a boy for a girl, and a healthy desire that God will instill within a girl for a boy. There's a healthy desire there because at some point God wants you, the foundation of marriage is a man and a woman coming together in marriage and establishing a home. That's what the Bible says. We've studied that in Sunday school. But so that's inside of you. And when you come to that particular age, when you realize that boys do not really have cooties. Now, mom and dad, you want them to keep on thinking that till at least 21 or so, you know. But they will come to that before age 21, I guarantee you. But when they come to that place, can you think back to that first little crush you had? That first, and can I tell you the joy that it brought to you? Love produces joy. Especially when you know that that person loves you back. You know, you have a friend. Go tell them that I love them if they love me. If they don't love me, I don't love them. You're protecting yourself, amen? You don't want to get hurt. And so you protect yourself against such things because love, not only can it bring joy, you know, rejection can bring hurt. But when you look to Jesus Christ and you realize that I can love him because he first loved me. And he proved beyond the shadow of doubt he loved you because he died for you. And you believe and you understand that he died for me even though I'm not worthy of his sacrifice for me. And you realize that there's somebody that loved me so much as to die for me. And inside of you, you have a love for that person who loved you enough to die for you. And when you have that love for him, can I tell you what it will do? When you hear the name of Jesus, it'll produce joy. It'll produce joy. Wow. If you do not experience joy when you think of Christ, two things. You don't know him. Don't have faith to truly believe, or you're trying to run from him, living in sin. Lastly, this morning, I've got to close, but lastly, if I do not have this biblical faith, what must I do to get it? Can I tell you, it's all about Christ. In Hebrews, in chapter 12, and this is it, we're done. Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 2. Paul knew this, and he said, well, I come to you. I wanted you to get it.
I didn't want you to base your faith upon what I would say. I didn't want you to base your faith upon who I am. I didn't want you to base your faith upon human wisdom. I wanted you to focus on Christ and Him crucified. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all bringing back to. Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 2 says this, looking unto Jesus. Faith is all about Him. Believing in Him. Putting your trust in Him. That's biblical faith. Looking unto Jesus, He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that tells us how important it is. He's the one that established it. He's the one that designed it. And He's the finisher, because one day we're not going to have to live by faith, because our faith will become sight. And when I see Him, it's sight. It's sight. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is what biblical faith is all about. Belief, Old Testament, He's coming. Belief in the Gospels, He's here. He walked on this planet Earth some 2,000 years ago, accomplished something that only the very Son of God could have accomplished. Pure, righteous, sinless blood shed for humanity. Belief that He's coming again. And it's all been done through the power of God. You can have that faith. You can have that faith if you'll just look unto Jesus. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.